Welcome to Ask the Chief Information Officer on Federal News Radio. Every week, Federal News Radio Executive Editor Jason Miller interviews CIOs of federal agencies about the latest directives, IT challenges, and successes. Now, your host, Jason Miller.
My guest today is David Shive, the General Services Administration's Chief Information Officer. Dave, welcome to the show.
Great. Thanks. I'm looking forward to the conversation.
So in some ways, you're a new CIO. In many ways, you're not. I mean, you've been Deputy CIO at GSA for a little while. Talk about that transition. It's a recent transition for you to move from Deputy to full-time CIO. What's the biggest change? How'd you go into making that transition?
The transition actually was pretty seamless. Sonny and I got together and we did our normal transition activities. We had meetings, we talked about current initiatives and things that we were working on. But it was facilitated by the fact that Sonny and Casey Coleman before him ran an executive team that worked very well in a collaborative nature. The vision that was created by them and that I'm carrying forward is a shared executive vision where each executive has significant input into the vision of the organization and then the downstream operationalizing that. So when I would talk with Sonny and talk about with the rest of the executives in GSA about how we're going to transition, we looked at that shared vision, which was being mobile-enabled, moving to the cloud, and we looked at the future and said, what can we or should we be doing to better enhance the business of GSA and increase taxpayer value? And there were not significant changes. So our transition was confirming that shared vision, confirming the steps that we were going to take to enact that vision, and then making sure that we had the right resources and the right talent and the right buy-in from our stakeholders necessary to realize that vision.
And I think the approach of doing the, as you said, shared executive vision brings in people who maybe are not in that quote-unquote CIO or deputy CIO role into the decision-making world. And then as you move into it, people, oh, I know him. I was in meetings after meetings with him or her. And you're already buying into whatever the, if you will, the priorities are because it was done together. So that actually seems to, just the way you described it, make things a lot easier.
It does make it easier. And even more importantly, it helps with succession planning. If you want to make sure that you can sustain the operations of an organization, you'll have more than one person feeding into that vision and then also enacting and enabling that vision. It's something, you know, people come and go in the IT world. It's a fundamental part of the business that we're in. Organizations that don't look ahead and don't plan and prepare for that tend to stumble and falter. So we've put a lot of time and thought and effort into how we manage that transition, and this was one of the key components. I won't say that the transition is easy, but it was made more easy by that foresight.
And when you look at some of the other parts of GSA, I know you guys had consolidated the CIO's role into really one CIO with several offices that answered up through the chain. Did you know most of the other people who were leading, for instance, the Federal Acquisition Service technology side or the Public Building Service IT side as well?
Absolutely, yes. I knew them, but I worked arm in arm, hand in hand, alongside of these other executives every single day. Previous to being the deputy, I was responsible for enterprise infrastructure, so I served them on a daily basis. I enabled their operations as they supported their businesses that they were supporting. I know their names. I know their kids' names. We sat right next to each other. Part of the consolidation was we all made sure we sat in the same area. And you really can't underestimate the value of sitting next to somebody, working with him all day on a shared mission and shared vision. So yeah, I know him very well.
I can only imagine that makes the transition saying, hey, Dave's now in charge, a lot easier than, hey, we're going to bring in a new person, which, speaking of new people, I know you guys have a posting on the street for a deputy CIO that just recently closed. Talk a little bit about that position. It's your old position. Do I understand that right?
Yes, it was my old position for a reasonably short amount of time. But previous to being the deputy for a short amount of time, I was the associate CIO responsible for infrastructure and what we call our corporate systems, which are all those large enterprise shared service systems like travel and budget and core finance and HR.
So one of the things about being the deputy is you get your hands in all of it, which helps you also. Then as your CIO, you already know the mission per se. So let's talk about your background. You talked about how long have you been at GSA? Where else have you worked in and out of government?
So I started at GSA just under 3 years ago. Casey hired me to run infrastructure, and then I quickly took on those corporate systems. Those two represented about 65 to 70% of the personnel and budget of GSA IT. They're the two biggest organizations within GSA IT, so I had a good understanding of how stuff worked. And when I became deputy, it was really just a slightly slightly larger job running those plus the other divisions within GSAIT. Prior to that, I was a CIO in the district government. I had the great honor of being Dr. Gandhi's CIO. And there I was responsible for all financial systems, all budget systems, lottery systems, all those financial-focused systems in the district. Great job. Loved serving the citizens of the district. And I learned a lot about working in the government space and have been able to successfully apply that here at GSA. Prior to that, I worked at a large defense contractor for many, many years, and that's where I grew up as an IT professional and IT executive. I learned about delivering IT into the federal space, into the state and local space with that vendor. It was a great place to learn about driving value through the use of technology into the business of government, and I really enjoyed that. Prior to that, I worked my way through school with my own consulting gig. So I've really done a little bit of everything, touched on all sides of IT.
That's a great experience to bring into the CIO's role, because one thing is when you've done the mission and you've also been on the contractor side, so when the contractor comes to you and says, yeah, but I don't know if I can do that, you can say, well, actually, I think you can, and here's why. Is that part of the philosophy that you're bringing as the CIO? Because I think, as we kind of talked about before the interview a little bit, the GSA CIO is not your usual CIO. I mean, there's a lot of expectation, not just from a delivery perspective, but from a community perspective. And so talk a little bit about the type of CIO you are being, want to be, will be.
I'll be very clear. We cannot be successful without our industry partners. And when I work with industry, one of the tenets of my career here at GSA has been, I do understand what industry needs. I understand what motivates them. I've sat on that side of the table before. And I think that that facilitates the discussions that we have when we're talking with industry about what we need from them to specifically solve the GSA mission. And I can be sensitive to what their needs are as well. And whenever you have that bilateral communication, that bilateral working relationship, I think the end work product is better because of that. But this is not just about industry. Part of my management style is I expect professionals to be professionals. I expect the vendor community to do what they say they're going to do in the most efficient and effective way. I expect employees to share the mission and the vision of the organization and work very hard to accomplish that. You know, this is the first time in a while that I've worked for myself. I'm a taxpaying citizen of the United States, so I'm working for myself. And you'll see that weaved throughout my entire management style. I'm working for myself, my neighbors, my friends, the people in this building, the people in this fair city. And because of that, because I interact with and rub shoulders with these people every day, I'm motivated to do the best possible job I can, because these are my friends, these are my family, and these are the people I work with every day.
A lot of CIOs will have a foot in the strategic side and operational side. The way you described your background, it seems like you spent a lot of time on the operational side. Now it sounds to me like you've probably jumped full into strategic. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, that goes to my management style yet again. I'm most comfortable in the operational side of things. I'm also pretty good at it. I tend to see in my career reflects that I'm pretty good at the strategic side as well. I'm okay at both of those things, and I transition pretty seamlessly between those. That was one of the things I was so excited to come work at GSA about, is the operations-focused executives didn't just focus on operations, they also focused on strategy. In my last job in the district, at the end of my time there, it was all strategy with, you know, little reaches into operations. So I've worked in both of those, and I feel very comfortable in operations. I get a big kick out of the strategy side. I like to be able to anticipate problems. I like to be able to anticipate the future, which is supremely hard in the technology business. And then try to apply what I think is going to happen to the problems we're solving now and what I think will arrive in the future.
When you look at your day, and I know every day is a little different, but do you spend more time strategic, operational, or how would you break it down if you had to?
So right now it's a pretty even 50-50 mix, but then I also have a DCIO position out on the street that will help with that. My expectation is the deputy will help with a fair amount of the operation stuff. But again, in that shared vision mode, they will also have significant input into the strategic part. But I'm expecting that that will allow me to spend some more time on the strategic side.
When you get that position hired, we know we'll all be interested. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we can talk about some initiatives and priorities. My guest today is David Shive, the GSA Chief Information Officer. I'm your host, Jason Miller, and you're listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.
Federal News Radio's Jason Miller is on Twitter. Follow him at jmillerwfed for the latest IT and federal management news at jmillerwfed.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm your host, Jason Miller. My guest today is David Shive, the General Services Administration's Chief Information Officer. Now, David, before break, we got to know you a little bit, your background a little bit. Let's jump into some priorities. Now, the last time I had the GSA CIO on my show was about a year ago, and at the time they talked a lot about a new open source policy. Let's discuss where we're at with that policy implementation and what kind of impact it's having.
It was a good idea then, and it's a good idea now. It's a rather than a policy, it's a strategy for GSA. And it is a perfect example of that shared vision. When Sonny put out that strategy, his entire executive team had input into that, had input into the creation of the strategy, in turning that into an operations focused as well. So right now, every procurement that we look at, every operational IT item that we develop and try to deliver, we look to see if there are opportunities to use open source. It's baked into our DNA. It's every part of what we do. When we employ a workflow system that's out in the cloud, we do so by sharing and reusing the components of that tool as we do development to solve our business needs across the organization. We have repositories that are open to every GSA developer so that we can share work amongst each other. But then we also open that up out to the larger federal government. We have a tool called GSA Labs where we're a Salesforce shop for our workflow tools, where we have opened up the development components that we've developed in the Salesforce environment out to the rest of the federal government, and other federal agencies are coming in and using and reusing those components. Classic example of the reuse of those components and the value of open technology. We also have our own GitHub site. We're not beholden to GitHub, but we use sites like that to share tools and components and ideation out into the larger community. We've co-opted those out in academia and industry to help us with the intractable problems of government, and we share that technology and we share those components in our GitHub site. If you go to open.gsa.gov, you get a really good example of some of the work we're doing in there, and it's baked into our DNA. When Sonny put out the strategy a year ago, it was an idea. Now it's absolutely part of what we do.
Do you find that when you look at technologies, when vendors are bidding or when you're going out to do your market research, are you finding that open source, as you said, baked in your DNA, is that the one that's coming up most often as that direction? Now, if you ultimately decide it works or doesn't, but do you find that there's been that culture change?
The maturity level of industry is all over the place when it comes to open source. Some of our partners absolutely have that baked into their DNA, and so there's some good synergies there. Others, it's a new concept, and so we make our choices on what tools and technologies to use based on any number of criteria, including cost and value and maintenance and things like that. The fact that they're open source is one of those criterias, but we partner with industry that maybe they're taking the first step into open source and help them take bold steps into that community. In other places, industry is helping us to gain maturity in that regard. So it's a part of our evaluation criteria, but it's not the sole part.
Are there any examples that you would point to that says, here's a system that we've updated, that we've modernized, or even a new one where it's been open source played a huge role, just as an example?
I'll pick on the Salesforce community yet again. We provide applications literally by the tens per month in that environment. It's a very, very dynamic environment where we either convert existing tools into the Salesforce environment to, so there's downward trend in our O&M on systems, and a downward trend in our development costs, or we will solve new and emerging business needs with new technology and new platforms. Again, that's a great opportunity for us to see what's been done out there and co-opt some of the tools and the development and code that's been done out there in the ether. And use that as a foundation for some of what we do. So it's a really good example of that.
And the Salesforce example, is that's the GSA Labs, or is that similar but not the same?
Salesforce has their own called AppExchange, which is out in the open. And we, you know, we pour through there and see if there's anything useful to us. And we also publish into AppExchange. GSA Labs is for the federal community specifically. Again, we share all of our code out there so that people can use that, and other agencies are in fact doing that.
And to make it easy on people, I know that the website may be behind a firewall, but if people want access to it, is there a way to get it easily enough? I mean, is it just calling your office?
They can call our office, or there's pointers at open.gsa.gov. That's a great place to go look at that.
Excellent, and we can link to that on federalnewsradio.com as well. Another party about a year ago was something called the Jedi Council. Everyone loved the name. I think there's a bunch of articles. But it's this idea of dealing with shadow IT, which is a growing problem, a growing cyber problem. Talk a little bit about that council, how it's making a difference, so you are better managing the mission and the operational IT.
So the Jedi Council is a great idea for those who have not heard about it, if you've been living under a rock for a while. It's a group that is split between IT and our business, and they are key users and forward thinkers in the use of technology in the business space that we've co-opted, that we've pulled together to say, what can we do, or how can we increase adoption of new tools within the enterprise? How can we provide better IT? How can we provide IT that's better aligned with the business mission and objectives of the businesses we're supporting? And so they feed into that. They feed ideas into that idea. They help us with transforming either existing or new tools that we're trying to publish out. They help us with adoption, which is one of the key success criteria for delivering IT in the federal space. And it's been a great, great partnership. So while ferreting out shadow IT is one of the positive outcomes of the Jedi Group, really the primary outcome, and it's the one that we're most proud of, is it's a close collaboration with the business. You asked me about how my mission, my mission might be, what my strategies might be. I think that it is critically important that IT is very closely aligned with business. And if we're doing IT for the sake of IT because it's got some flashing lights and spinning drives that dazzle people, then we're not providing any real value. If we are very closely aligned with business and we are enabling their mission or creating the foundation where we can help them transform their business to better serve the citizens and agencies that we serve, then we've done a good job. The Jedis are a perfect example of that. They help us better provide IT to the businesses that we serve.
Let me go down that path for a second, because one of the things I hear from a lot of CIOs is the closer connection to the business side. And some CIOs are reorganizing their offices to have customer service type of positions to focus on mission areas. Others are just setting up kind of a program project management office that really focuses on the mission areas. Are you doing anything in that similar vein where you're trying to, beyond the Jedi Council, obviously, where you're trying to ensure that we're meeting the mission needs first and through IT?
Our associate CIOs that report into me were former federal CIOs aligned with and in IT and the different businesses within GSA. They know IT backwards and forwards, but they know the businesses that they've been supporting backwards and forwards very well. Those associate CIOs are as closely aligned to business as you can imagine. They're an integral part of the business thought process and delivery and operations in those organizations, and that's going to be the way that we continue to operate for as long as I'm around. Having that very close tie at the executive level, where GSA IT executives are interacting with business executives, allows us to be strategic partners and deliverers of transformation and optimization of business in a way that just being a widget provider will never provide. We do have a PMO that's responsible for delivering large enterprise systems and solutions. And those associate CIOs have some delivery capability within their organization, but they also reach into our PMO for extra resources because, you know, frankly, there's a big ebb and flow in the delivery of IT in the federal space. And so it's good to have that bench strength available to enable that. And it's more than that. So all the way up and down the GSAIT organizational structure, if there is a part of the organization that's not well aligned with business, that doesn't have business optimization and transformation as its primary focus, we take a long, hard look at why we're going to have that organization there. Because we're here to support business. We're here to enable business.
I think that's interesting because the former CIOs of FAS or PBS or whomever, they always were taking care of that operational side. But during the consolidation, everything was brought up, obviously, to your office now. Is the JEDI Council, just to go back to that for a quick second, and you said one of the byproducts is shadow IT, not necessarily the reason for it. But there's been a lot of concern and a lot of challenges with shadow IT. And again, just go back to the cyber sprint as an example, that people didn't know what risk they had in front of them because they just didn't know the shadow IT. Do you feel like a GSA, just generally speaking, through the council, through other means, shadow IT is a big problem, a medium problem, a small problem? And of course, as soon as you say that, somebody else will disagree with you and tell you, well, he just doesn't know.
That's a really excellent question. I'm glad you brought it up. So we're a reasonably newly consolidated organization, 18, 24 months ago. We started the work. We're putting the finishing touches on the work now. It's a great effort. We've saved millions of dollars. We have been able to rationalize massive infrastructure, rationalize many, many applications. We've been able to optimize the way that we perform IT functions and deliver IT service. Really, really great outcomes to consolidation. But at the same time, we are providing as good or better service to our businesses. And what I've found is if you provide appropriate service to the businesses that you serve, they're not compelled to go stand up shadow IT. And so that's one of my primary goals, is to make sure they're never driven to create shadow IT. That said, we have some rules that we operate against. FITARA is going to be one of those. And I am obligated as the CIO to know what IT is running in the organization, whether it sits under the GSAIT umbrella or not. I'm obligated to know what money is being spent. I'm obligated to know what large enterprise systems are being delivered, and not just know about it, but I'm obligated to have the authority to say yes or no to that. So there's some things we do to do that. One, first and foremost, having close and collaborative working relationships with the business so that, one, they're not compelled to stand up their own IT capabilities, but two, so that I know what they're doing and they know what I'm doing. That's a big part of the way we operate and will be for as long as I'm around. The other part is we do zero-based budgeting here. People will debate ad nauseum the value of zero-based budgeting in the federal space because it's a big task. But we take it very seriously, done it 2 years running. So we look not only at the GSA IT budget and look at every single line item every single year. We're looking at it actually multiple times per year. But we analyze those costs. And we say, where's their duplication here? Where can we rationalize at the infrastructure layer, at the security layer, at the people, process, or technology layers? And we ferret out that duplication. Likewise, we look at the budgets of those that we serve. And we look for IT. And we're very good. We have a lot of people who've been in IT for a very long time. And we're very good at recognizing IT. Now, GSA, we have our internal mission. My internal mission is to serve the business of GSA. We also have the mission of serving the larger federal government. And a lot of the ways we serve the larger federal government is providing IT and IT-like services out there. So I will never step on the toes of my business partners in FAS and PBS as they provide those service out there. But there is value, especially with FITARA coming down the pike, at me knowing exactly what they're doing and being able to ferret out and say, this is internal IT spend and I need to be responsible for that. And to that end, our front office has created an environment that very helpful. And my business partners at PBS and FAS have been absolutely willing to make sure that GSA IT is performing the IT for GSA.
All right. Well, let's take a quick break. When we come back, there's a couple older priorities we'll still get into. My guest today is David Shive, the GSA Chief Information Officer. I'm your host, Jason Miller, and you're listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm your host, Jason Miller. My guest today is David Shive, the General Services Administration's Chief Information Officer. David, we were visiting some older priorities, open source. We were visiting Shadow IT. One other older priority I want to touch upon is VDI, Virtual Desktop Interface. Back in, I think, 2013, 2014 timeframe, the CIO at the time set a goal of having 75% of all employees using VDI by September 30th of this year. You got a couple weeks left now. Are you going to make that 75%, or have you already made it?
So yes, I love living up to other people's expectations and priorities that they've set. Again, that was another of our shared visions, and yes, we actually will be above 75% by September 30th. 100% of our systems in the GSA enterprise will be VDI enabled. What that means is any employee that wants to engage VDI and use VDI will absolutely be able to do so. And they'll be able to do so from any device, whether it's their laptop, their tablet. Heck, I can spin up a Windows machine on my cell phone if I need to. So from any device at any time. Now, the next step, and this is where our JEDIs will come into play, and good communications and adoption of the technology will come into play, is increasing the adoption of the technology. We've done our classic communications campaigns. We've let people know that the tools are there. We have enabled the infrastructure and sized it so it can handle peak loads during crisis situations like snowstorms and things like that. But now the next thing is to get our people to use it. So right now, over 50% of our staff are users of VDI on some level. We have heavy users who live in VDI all day long, and then we have lighter users that use it incidentally. And that's the great thing about the technology platform is it's flexible, and you're able to use it in any circumstance. You know, GSA has made massive investment in mobilizing their workforce and making it so that we can work across the full suite of GSA applications from any place and any location. It served us really well. When Superstorm Sandy came ashore, GSA employees were there at a local Pep Boys ordering chainsaws for first responders. And we had IT people scatter from the affected areas so they could backwards introduce IT solutions into the area from afar. And they were able to do that on whatever device they could get on, whether it was their home computer or their tablet as they're riding down the road to somebody else driving. So it's been a great tool. It's also had some secondary benefits for us. It has been a system enabler. We've been able to extend the presence of some of our older and legacy systems out to newer technologies that otherwise wouldn't be able to operate on some of these new technologies like tablets. We've been able to keep some of our legacy systems online, operating, functional, and secure past their normal lifetime because we've been able to put a technology wrapper around those legacy systems through VDI and secure those. So we've been able to extend the value of the investment we made in those systems. And it's made it so that we can migrate to new and modernized systems and capability on a more thoughtful schedule, one that doesn't add risk to the organization. So it's been a really, really great tool. We're able to extend it out to, you know, our bring-your-own-device pilots so that people can get secure access to GSA computing resources from their own devices. It's been able to extend our COOP capabilities, knowing that GSA employees can access GSA computing resources regardless of any threat that exists, whether that be a weather threat or something like that. People can pick up and move the GSA operating capability to any location. It's really, really been a super wise investment in technology for GSA.
A couple things I definitely want to follow up with you with. You mentioned the BYOD pilot, COOP. Before we go down that path, when you talk about 100% of your systems are VDI enabled, GSA, like any agency, has probably more legacy systems than you wish it did. Mm-hmm. How do you take a legacy system that may be 10 or 20 or older and make it VDI enabled? You talk about it in the system enabler to put a wrap around it to even extend that life, which is both a good and a bad because, as you well know, there's maybe some security challenges, but also as you move to new systems, you get better efficiency. So give me a sense about that. How are you able to apply VDI to the older legacy systems?
Perfect example is a system that's using older Java as the presentation layer so the user can access the system. Older versions of Java have security flaws just like any application does, and when they're not updated over time, those security issues increase over time. So some of these tools are no longer having development done on them. They've been sunsetted and there's code freezes on them because we're either in a renewal period or we're moving to a new system. but they still provide some value to the organization as we transition, stuff like that. So we're able to wrap those into VDI and create a security fence around the application where we're presenting basically an image of the application out to the user rather than the application itself. And when you present just an image of that application out, it's much easier to secure it. So that's one of the ways that we do that.
Let me move over to mobility, because one of the things that priority was last time was make things more mobile friendly. VDI plays a big role in that. And then you talked about the BYOD pilot and Coop, all part of that mobile friendly necessity. So let's start with the BYOD pilot. How's that going? How many people? And what kind of results are you seeing?
We're seeing the results that we pretty much expected, since we are already pretty mobile in the first place. So the numbers, people are opting in, so the numbers are flexible at any given time. At any given time, maybe 4 or 5% of our enterprise is using some device of theirs, whether it's their own cell phone, their own PC from home, which actually happens pretty frequently, or they bring in their own laptop from home. We have ways of securing those. I won't go into a lot of detail about how we do that. So when those devices come and enter into the GSA network, they're scanned pretty heavily.
And that's actually, let me jump in, that's where VDI actually does come in. I mean, I've heard, for instance, VDI on a stick, or you were able to, if you bring your own laptop but you plug in something or some kind of interface, that can protect the GSA's broader network.
Yeah, there's a variety of different ways that you can do that, and we employ most of them. So there's any number of devices sitting on the network, and so it's going pretty well. We found that some users really like to use their own device. Some users absolutely have no interest in that, and we're able to accommodate both of those populations pretty well. What we expected is that when we architect our enterprise solutions, that they're going to be able to run on any device at any time in a secure manner. And so the BYOD piece has been, the trial has been uneventful, to say the least, because we've done a lot of the work ahead of time to make it that way. But you know what? For those employees that really like to use their own device, it's great. It works for them.
An uneventful pilot. I think that's music to a CIO's ears. From a broader perspective, mobile friendly, making your applications, you talked a little bit about it, saying anywhere, anytime, any device, which goes back to our open source conversation as well. You can see how the things all fit together. Give me a sense about the mobile friendly aspects of taking something that's usually viewed on a laptop or a desktop and making it viewable on a tablet or other device.
You know, I mentioned spinning up a Windows desktop on my cell phone. Just because I can do that doesn't mean it's particularly useful, unless I'm sitting on a train somewhere and I have to approve somebody's, you know, leave or something like that. Then it's useful. So I'm going to use an old school IT term here. We take heuristics very seriously here, which, for those of you listening who don't know what that is making IT systems and solutions useful to the employees that they're using. You know, if you publish a system or a solution that's unusable, it has very little value. So part of our JEDI process is we have them take a look at the usability of systems, including the mobility capability for every system that we deploy. And we take a long, hard look at the development that needs to happen to make that happen. Every newly developed application that we put out is fully mobile enabled for a variety of screen sizes and capabilities and resolution. But we found that there's value in going back and looking at our legacy systems and our legacy capabilities and assessing the value of mobile enabling those, not just being able to display it on any screen, but in a way that's easily consumable by the user. And if there is value and the cost is appropriate and we can show that return on that investment, we'll mobile enable it. So we're constantly looking backwards and saying, where can we have a mobile web page front end that sits in front of these applications that makes it easier for the users to consume that information or to more easily do that transaction in a mobile environment? It's baked into everything that we do.
All right, well, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to jump into some new priorities. My guest today is David Shive, the GSA Chief Information Officer. I'm your host, Jason Miller, and you're listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm your host, Jason Miller. My guest today is David Shive, the General Services Administration's Chief Information Officer. Now, David, we spent almost the entire show looking at older priorities. Let's jump into newer priorities. We got cloud, you have mobile, you have big data, you have mission-enabled IT. There's a ton going on. Tell me what you're working on.
A few things. So as an outcome of consolidation, you know, we consolidated our organization and we started the good work of rationalizing our infrastructure and our applications. That work is not complete, and we've not derived all the value out of that work that we can, so we will continue those activities. We're working on modernizing some of our acquisition processes, and I'm sure you've talked to Tom Sharp and others about some of that. So we play a key role in some of those, you know, standing up the acquisition gateway and other tools like that, which we're exceedingly proud of. We are updating a fair number of our government-wide systems like USA.gov, transforming those so that those systems and the capabilities they provide are increasingly useful to the citizens and to the agencies that we serve. We are modernizing our systems in public buildings across the entire federal government public building inventory. That's really, really exciting work. You know, there's a lot of talk about the Internet of Things, and it's a neat word and neat thing to talk about. We're living and breathing that every single day. As you look at public buildings across the federal enterprise, it's a data-rich environment, you know, for every elevator that you ride up and down in, for every cooling system that you walk through, for every lighting system that you sit under, for every door that you go through. There's data there, and there's actionable data there. And so we are looking at our data management strategies so that we can effectively coalesce that data, and putting good predictive analytics on top of that so that we can make good decisions about things that are happening and predict when things are going to happen and drive down costs for things like maintenance of infrastructure and things like that. That's a very exciting place that we're working in right now. Speaking of enterprise data management and predictive analytics, the administrator talked about just this week where she was talking about reducing costs in the federal government. She talked about the GSA data management strategy, and that is to look at the data as an asset across GSA, regardless of business and regardless of function, coalescing that data and looking at that data and seeing what we can see and knowing what we can know. And there's things to be known by looking at data as a whole. There's things that can help executive decision makers make good decisions when we mash up data from the acquisition side and the public building side, or the IT side and the administrative services side, or the security side and the mission assurance side. You know, when you start looking at that data in the aggregate, you can start to see things. You can start to find ways to better run an enterprise. And so that's going to be a very, very large focus of what we're working on. I've recently announced that we have a new chief data officer, Chris Rowley, and he owns that task and is doing a great job at getting all the players, the owners of the data, together to say, how can we look at data in a new way? How can we make sure that the steps we're doing to produce data have savvy enterprise data management as a positive outcome? How can we structure our data so that it's easier to look into it and make good decisions off of it? Really exciting work.
All right, so there's a lot there. There's probably more, but let me just jump in because when you start talking about data analytics and using data to make better decisions, I was going to ask if you have plans for a CDO, so it's good to see you do have plans for one. Now, does he answer directly to you, or is he in a different part of GSA? When I've talked to separate CIOs, they have different visions.
Chris is a GSA IT employee and reports directly to me. And different agencies have different ideas and thoughts about data. We tend to think that since IT is a foundational enabler of business and provides that operational layer that the GSA business sits on top of, that was a good place to put that. If we didn't have good working relationships with our businesses, if there was a disconnect between our mission and their mission, maybe we might have come to a different decision. But because we're so closely tied to the business here at GSA, it made good sense.
One of the stories I did previous this year was looking at the CIO role and the CDO role. And if you talk about somebody who's a chief information officer, you have someone who's a chief data officer, we draw in a thin line between what data is and what information is. How do you separate the roles when it comes to what GSA needs are?
The business of information management, that's providing information that's consumable by the entire enterprise in the most cost-effective manner and the most effective way. Data is a whole nother thing. The data as an asset it's one of the key asset components that make up information, but it is just that. It is just a component. And it makes sense that you would have a really smart person managing that data whose focus is on data management across the enterprise, who really is a data scientist rather than some high-flung executive who's just making broad-based decisions about that. And that's the role that Chris plays. As the chief information officer, I'm charged with making sure that data is promulgated in a useful manner and is one of the key deliverables and outcomes of that larger information management strategy.
When you talk about data, the next question is analytics, tools. Do you have plans to either A, look at for more or different tools, or have you already recently brought in new tools? How do you manage that data?
We've stood up a platform that's rapidly maturing called Data to Decisions. And it is a suite of tools. It's really a suite of capabilities that's designed to effectively access the different data pools that exist within GSA. We actually provide it outward to some federal agencies as well. And then take those data pools and apply savvy business intelligence and data analytics capabilities to those data pools. So hanging off of D2D, we have some savvy predictive analytics layers. So speaking directly to industry, you guys may hear that we have a set of analytics tools that we're using, and we are, but I'm here to say that we're agnostic when it comes to those tools, and we're agnostic for a couple of reasons. One, you guys in industry are very good at leapfrogging one another and increasing the capability of your predictive analytics and business intelligence capabilities. So because of that, because we want to stay current with our capabilities, we've created a mechanism where we can be agnostic about what tools are used and choose the best in breed tool as rapidly as they come out, because that is an industry that is leaping forward every 6 months. And so we're always looking for new tools. If you guys have great tools out there, come talk to us, and we'll see if we can enter that into the Data to Decisions suite of capabilities.
All right, great advice. I know we could talk longer, but unfortunately we're out of time. My guest has been David Shive, the General Services Administration's Chief Information Officer. I'm your host, Jason Miller, and you've been listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. David, thank you so much for taking the time to join us.
Thank you. It's been my pleasure.
You've been listening to Ask the Chief Information Officer. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, Ask the CIO, Thursday mornings at 10:30, only on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.